The BBC is a fine institution of which Britain should be proud, but like all organisations, it must evolve to meet the demands of the world in the 21st century. Unfortunately, long-established places like the BBC tend to resist change and tend to see their imperative as growth at all costs. But often more means worse. The BBC argues that it is a universal public service broadcaster, but the vast majority of its licence fee payers don't really know what public service broadcasting means.
2015, your choice, your voice, your final. Let's do this, people!
The Voice is a show invented by John de Mol, the Dutchman behind Big Brother. It started in Holland in 2010, and the format is now made by wall-to-wall here for the BBC. If the BBC had not bought it, another broadcaster, like ITV, Sky, Channel 4 or Channel 5, would certainly have done so. And I'm sure if the BBC were obliged to stop showing it, the show would be instantly snapped up by one of their rivals, without the need of subsidy from licence fee payers.
One. The Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Nick Grimshaw.
The BBC should focus on original, innovative content which fills gaps where the market is failing. It should not replicate equivalent material to that broadcast by commercial stations simply because BBC executives feel a need to compete for audiences with their rivals. The 3.7 billion state intervention through a regressive tax on every TV household should not be wasted on entertainment adequately provided by the private sector.
This is BBC Radio Ulster on 2 to 4 metres medium wave.
Since it was founded, the media industry has changed beyond recognition.
Online, on digital and on FM.
There are over 400 TV channels, an online cornucopia of short-form video and so forth. The BBC must adapt to this digital revolution. It should concentrate on high-quality, creative output which would otherwise never be commissioned, such as documentaries, groundbreaking drama, news, current affairs and such like.
The view of Luke Johnson. Well, Steve Hewlett, presenter of the media show on Radio 4, is with us. Morning, Steve.
Hi.
Let's start with that last point that Luke Johnson made, the question of what the BBC does. In his words, it should make high-quality creative output which would never otherwise be commissioned.
Well, up to a point, Lord Copper, the fact is that once upon a time, broadcasting in Britain was the BBC. Since then, it's changed beyond all recognition, and there are lots and lots of players. But essentially, at the core of Britain's creative economy in television, you have a sort of an ecology, which has ITV, the BBC, Channel 4, Channel 5, Sky, and increasingly other players intervening. Now, you might not like The Voice, but I can tell you for certain that X Factor is better as a result. You might not like Sky News, but I can tell you that BBC News is better as a result. It's an ecology. And the problem with saying that the BBC should be anything other than a full player in it is rather more profound than simply about the BBC.
Except the point here is that a public subsidy is being used, the argument goes, to make things that would be made anyway in the private sector.
Yeah, up to a point. Would the private sector have made Bake Off? You know, would the private sector have made Strictly Come Dancing? Well, they didn't own it, so they probably couldn't have done. I mean, when you see a successful show, it's very easy for the commercial sector to say, well, of course we'd have made it. Would they have made it? Look, I think there is a nuance here. One version of this argument has it that the BBC should be much, much smaller and much more, and diminished, the BBC would say, from its kind of current position, i.e. it shouldn't be all in full service, every genre. It should be something much more smaller and focused. There's another vision which says the BBC should be, broadly speaking, however it delivers it, kind of what it is. There is a nuance, though, when it comes to entertainment programmes. For example, you might say that Strictly Come Dancing, a BBC format, originated at home, turns it, and Bake Off, etc., 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 yes, please. Buying a format from abroad, call it The Voice, perhaps no thank you. So there is a nuance there, which Johnson's position that the BBC shouldn't be doing this at all, I don't think holds very easily.
Right, so that's the point about what the BBC should do. And then there is the question of how it should be paid for. Now, it is only days since there was a deal ahead of the budget between the BBC and the Chancellor over the licence fees, over the free licences for over 75s, and part of that was an agreement on the licence fee. Is that now going to be reopened by this green paper?
Well, the BBC, Tony Hall said at the time of that deal, which we discussed here last week, and I'll quote you, he said, both the government and the BBC now consider that the financial size of the BBC is set with a fixed financial baseline over the next charter period. That's what he said. The government's letter, when it was to the BBC, when it was released from the Chancellor, says, the government anticipates that the licence fee will rise in line with CPI, that's inflation, over the next charter review period, subject to A, the conclusions of the charter review in relation to the purposes and scope of the BBC. Well, the BBC believe they have a deal whereby the licence fee is agreed. There's clearly plenty of wriggle room if somebody wants to exploit it. But just stand back, though, a second. If there's an awful lot of the rhetoric is being ramped up around this green paper and the process very significantly. In the end, the questions it will put are obvious. How big should the BBC be? What are its public purposes? How should it do it? How should it be funded? How should it be governed? There's nothing to read into those questions because that's what Charter Review is supposed to ask. So whether that BBC is in fact, as they are implying themselves, facing an existential crisis, I think remains to be seen.
Right. So you would say this is not a moment of alarm, the celebrities writing to the papers and the way the rhetoric has been overly ramped
up. Well, the BBC are going for it. I mean, Tony Hall I've known for many years and I've never seen him as aggressive as he was this week. I mean, they're essentially saying that people like Luke Johnson, the advocates of the smaller BBC, if you like, are either representing narrow commercial self-interest or have ideological preconceptions. I mean, what they're saying is, you may think this, but remember the public are not with you. There is no evidence the public wants a smaller BBC. So the BBC standing there saying, we speak for the public, we represent the public, and you special interests and ideologues, you know, really should go and sling your hook. Now, is the centre ground of the political position that's behind the government really advocating a massively smaller BBC? Well, George Osborne, when he appeared on the Marr Show to talk about the raid on the licence fee for £750 million, did say he wasn't sure about the website and its impact on newspapers. Fair point to be discussed. But otherwise, the BBC was a central part of national life, global reputation, and critically, he liked Strictly Come Dancing.
Steve Hewlett, thank you.